Now we're going. All right, so we're going to start our message, and the message is re'eh, look or see. And as I was reading through the portion this week, one thought stuck out at me over and over again. It was impressed upon me by the Ruach HaKodesh, that Holy Spirit. And it was the focus of the oneness that is Adonai. Kept getting stressed throughout the word in my mind. He just kept putting in there. The oneness of Adonai. And it seems kind of obvious for us, but then when you compare us to the world doesn't think of Adonai as just one God. But for us who acknowledge Adonai as the one true King, it seems pretty obvious. But it was a But it's a difference between who we are and who the world is. And it was a great difference between who Israel was and who the nations around them were. It's true both now and then. So those of us who are part of the Judeo-Christian belief system, having faith in only one God, one true God, that's a no-brainer for us. We just assume that's the way it should be. It's natural. It's essential. But for some today, and for most of the world, or at least a lot of the world, it's not that easy. It's not that natural for them. During the times of Moses, all the nations around them didn't think this way. They were polytheistic. They thought of multiple gods, a god for this and a god for that, a god for this part. And each one had their own little, kingdom, spiritual kingdom, and what they went through, what they were over. Just the opposite of, oh, I forgot the kids, huh? I rolled right into that. You want to go out? Father, bless the young ones as they go out to learn your word. Amen. Yeah. What happened to my reminder? I moved it. Sorry. So the world was polytheistic. Judaism was monotheistic. One God, only one. And the world couldn't understand that. And it's basically true today. When we talk about just being one God, the world has a hard time, especially for those of us who believe Messiah Yeshua is God. Because it's even part of the world today. They still say, okay, I can buy the Father. I can buy Jesus or Yeshua as Messiah, and I can buy the Ruach. But what did you do? You just counted three gods for me. And we say, no, that's not the way it is. One true God. We'll get into that in just a moment. That concept of oneness is just so important for us. Scripture impresses upon us the concept of oneness over and over again. So it bears taking some time to look at it today. Even though it seems obvious to us, I think it's a good idea to look it over. So the first oneness of God is one God. There is but one God. You know, when we think about the fact that there's only one God, one actual God, that's the foundation of all our beliefs here in Messianic Judaism, one God. And when we think about that, we think Shema, right? Isn't that it should be the first thing that comes to our minds, or at least for most of us, it is. The Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4, says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." It's the most important calling for the Jewish people still today, and for those who follow the Judeo-Christian belief, and especially Messianic Judaism. There is but one. Whether you call him Yeshua, you call him Jesus, there's only one God. And by acknowledging Adonai as the one true God, we acknowledge that all things come from him. That's why we say one God. Polytheistic thought, well, you get, you know, your air from this God, you get your water from this God, you get your food from this God. It all comes from Adonai. And Adonai has shown himself to be a jealous God, jealous for his people. Now, a lot of people, when they think of the word jealous, they think it's kind of a negative connotation. You know, they think that green-eyed monster in people. But for Adonai, when we apply it correctly, it's not that. It's an abundance of love that he doesn't want to share us, and we should not be sharing as well. He's only made the one. He is the only one, I should say. He's the only one and put none beside him while making creation. And as his creation, we should not be putting anything beside him as well. He will not tolerate false gods. In Scripture, he tells us how to handle false gods on the earth. In today's portion, in Deuteronomy 12, starting in verse 2, it says this: "You must utterly destroy all the places where the nations that you will dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains and on the hills and under every green tree. You are to tear down their altars, smash their pillars, burn their Asherah poles in the fire, and cut down the carved images of their gods. And you are to obliterate their name from that place." Completely, utterly destroy their name. The name of the false god. Because he doesn't want us to get trapped by them, by holding any kind of esteem at all towards a false god. He knew that in Israel, if they even tolerated having a false god in the land, that eventually that tolerating would become acceptance. The acceptance would become inquisitiveness, and they'd start questioning and accepting and understanding, and then all of a sudden it becomes equal to God, and in some cases above Adonai. Can't even tolerate it. We see that in today's society with thoughts, things that just were totally, that are just totally against Scripture, are creeping in. They were tolerated, and then they're accepted. And what do we see today? People want all the people to accept. And they want everyone to, hey, why don't we just all do this? That's not Adonai's teaching. Eventually, with all of these thoughts, someone who has some esteem in society or high ranking, they accept it and then they start pushing it on everybody. In Scripture, these people were called prophets, dreamers, or seers. Look what Deuteronomy 13 says about them. Deuteronomy 13:2 says, "Suppose a prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises up among you and gives you a sign or wonder. And the sign or wonder he spoke to you comes true, while saying, 'Let's follow other gods that you have not known, and let's serve them.' You must not listen to their words or that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for Adonai your God is testing you to find out whether you love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Adonai your God you will follow, and him you will fear. His mitzvot you will keep. To his voice you will listen. Him you will serve, and to him you will cling. That prophet or dreamer of dreams must be put to death, for he has spoken falsehood against Adonai your God, who brought you out from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to entice you from the way of Adonai your God commanded you to walk. So you will purge the evil from your midst. You must not listen. You must put it to death. Now, of course, today we can't just go around killing people. It's just not accepted. Okay. But it doesn't mean we accept their words and we can put down the things that are against Adonai and his instructions. We're to put to death those things, those ideas. Doesn't mean we destroy the people, we destroy the ideas, and then accept and love the people so that we can show them what Torah says. We can show them what God's instructions are. Because even those who have so strongly accepted wicked ideas in the past can be saved. We must put away those falsehoods and remember there is only one true God. His instructions. Isaiah 44:6 says this, "Thus says Adonai, Israel's king and his redeemer, Adonai Tzevaot, I am the first and the last, and there is no God besides me." Adonai Almighty is the first and the last. There's no God beside him. As creator, he's the one up there. He did not place anything beside him. And we can't either. So next is, there's only one place to worship. There's only one God, and there's only one place to worship. The oneness of God. Just as there's only one God, he's deemed it that we shall have only one place to worship. Now, just a moment ago, we read Deuteronomy 12, 2 and 3. Now let's read the next couple of verses, starting in Deuteronomy 12, 4. "You are not to act like this towards Adonai your God, that having places all around. Rather, you are to seek only the place Adonai your God chooses from all your tribes to put his name to dwell. There you will come." Don't act like them, he says. Act like what? Have places all around to bring sacrifices. You don't have multiple places of sacrifice. We only use the one place that he chooses. The one place, the oneness of God. Before the temple was built, that place that Adonai chose was the tabernacle that moved about the desert with them. Once the tabernacle was built, it was the temple, right? That temple was the only place to bring your sacrifices. After the destruction of the second temple in Jerusalem, there was no place else to bring your sacrifices. So sacrifices stopped, or did they? After that, where should the sacrifices be? In our hearts. With the same blood of the animal, only this time it's the more perfect blood, the blood of Yeshua. In our hearts, still only one place. There was only one place, the physical place that the animals were sacrificed. Now there's still only one place, and it's in your heart, a pure place, a place that Adonai shows. You know, we know that in the temple it was the blood. Still is. Deuteronomy 17, Moses spoke about even before the temple was built. Even before Jerusalem was the place that Adonai was going to point to as the place to bring all your sacrifices. Deuteronomy 17:3 says, "Anyone from the house of Israel who slaughters a bull, a lamb, a goat in the camp or outside the camp, but has not brought it to the entrance of the tent of meeting to offer it as a sacrifice to Adonai before the tabernacle, let blood guilt be charged to that man. He has shed blood. That man is to be cut off from among his people. Thus, B'nai Israel may bring their sacrifices that they are making in the open field to Adonai at the entrance of the tent of meeting to the Kohen and offer them as a sacrifice of fellowship offerings to Adonai. Those animals that were being slaughtered before as sacrifices in the open field, now they're told, bring them to the tabernacle. Bring them to Adonai, to the tent of meeting. And if it was too far away for them to travel, that's okay. He gave them specific rules on how to handle that, that they could still have meat to eat as long as they poured out the blood. So today, we don't have that tent of meeting. We don't have the tabernacle or the temple to sacrifice. So physical sacrifices are not made today. No animals are slaughtered. But that blood of Yeshua still is needed. He was sacrificed right near the temple. His blood is the blood that still is eternal. The animals were temporary. Every day they needed to do. In fact, twice a day they needed to do. Adonai's blood was eternal. And because of his blood, there's still only one place, the oneness of God. That oneness of place is still only one place, and that's in our heart. And our heart has to be in that right attitude, in that place of faith. This is the only one place for us to worship today. So the next is the one way of salvation. The oneness of God, one way to salvation. Just like there's only one place to sacrifice, there is only one way to salvation. Over and over again, we see in Scripture that the Messiah was expected. Those were the prophecies that Messiah would come. That it would be his blood that would bring atonement for our sins. Leviticus 17 tells us that the atonement is by the blood of the animal sacrificed, and that there would be a better sacrifice eventually, we're told through Scripture, a more permanent sacrifice, as we said earlier. Not a different kind of sacrifice. Still blood. It's just going to be eternal now. Eternal for the acceptance and the covering of the atonement of our sins. That sacrifice was made by Yeshua when he hung on the executioner's stake. It was foretold in the Old Covenant. Psalm 22, verse 17 says this, "For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has closed in on me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare, they gape at me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garments." This is the story of Yeshua. This is the story of his sacrifice, but written hundreds of years beforehand. And we're told it again in Isaiah 53, a great chapter for everyone to go back and read again if you haven't read it recently. Isaiah 53, I can't read the whole chapter for time's sake, but verse 5 says, "But he was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The chastisement for our shalom was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Amen. Yeshua fulfills the prophecies, and he himself told us of his own importance as the one way to salvation. We see this in Matthew 7, starting in verse 13. "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow is the gate, and difficult the way that leads to life. And those who find it are few." He tells us the need to enter in and enter in the one way. Only one way. Going in another way, the second way, is the path of destruction. The emphasis again is on the one, only one way. And we see it stressed again in John 14. Yeshua tells us that there are many mansions and many houses or dwelling places, whichever version you're reading, you know, houses, mansions, dwelling places. But the truth about how to get to this place with many mansions and dwell in eternity in his presence, there is only one way. John 14:6. Yeshua said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have come to know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Yeshua is the truth and the life. He's the only way to it. Now, there are many in the world who are going to try to tell you, look, Yeshua is praying to a God and saying he's the God, therefore there must be two gods. But that's not true. We have to look at what's really going on here. And I'm going to come back to that point in a moment. I'm so excited about it. I want to get to it. But he's the only way. And he says he's the eternal way. Because once we accept and we walk in his path, it is for all eternity that we will be saved, as long as we run the good race and don't give up in this life. That's why the idea of monotheism is so important. How important is this idea of oneness of God? In the book of Daniel, we see that a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, who scripture says was the most beautiful tree, they likened them to a tree, that all the world lived in his shade and all the world draw food from him, from this tree. He was stricken and not restored until he was taught the lesson about the oneness of God. After his lesson that he learned that God was one and the only one in all the world, he said this, Daniel 4:31, and then I'm going to skip down to 34. "But at the end of the appointed days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes up to heaven, and my sanity returned to me. So I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, because all his works are right and his ways just. He is able to humble those who walk in pride." This pagan king, who was the strongest king around at the time, who is likened to the tree that everyone got food from and lived in his shade, was brought down low until he knew who Adonai was. And once he accepted Adonai, what happened? He was reestablished as king. He was put back on the throne. Even this pagan king learned the lesson of monotheism, that there is only one God. And once he learned it, God said, okay, now you can go back to where you were. And when he went back to where he was, he knew who Adonai was and proclaimed the greatness and oneness of who he is, who Adonai is. That's how important monotheism is to Adonai. So next we have one choice to be made for eternity. That oneness of God, that one choice that we need to make for all eternity. Because once we make that decision and stick to it, that's all we get. We get that one choice. We choose today how we live, and it determines our eternity. And once we die, whatever choice you made is the one for all eternity. That's a scary thought. All eternity hinges on one decision you make and how you walk it out. So we have to get it right now. You don't have later. You don't know if you have later to make that decision. You have to get it right before you die or before he comes back, whichever comes first. You know, when Yeshua was praying to the Father, he said this about the work he was sent to do and the life of everyone that will be lived out after this life. There's a life after this life. And Yeshua tried to tell people about it. John 17:3 says, Yeshua speaking, "And this is eternal life, that you may know that they may know you." Adonai speaking about the Father. "The only true God and Yeshua the Messiah, the one you sent." Yeshua said this, "I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory I had with you before the world came to be." To my Jewish brethren, I come back to the point I started earlier in my haste. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. The world wants to tell you, look, he's speaking to God and he's calling himself God. Therefore, there are two gods. It's not the case. Yeshua says, "Glorify me along with you." But we know Adonai will not allow anyone to share his glory. So if Yeshua was not Adonai himself on earth, he would have been destroyed for saying it. He never would have been heard from again. That's the proof of who he is, that Adonai was willing to share his glory with him because it was him. If glory can only go to one, then they have to be both the one. They have to be echad. They have to be the same. Not next to each other, in the same place, not over each other. Being the same oneness of God, he would not share his glory. Yeshua is not praying out loud for the Father to hear him. That's not the purpose for his praying out loud. But he's praying to himself for other people to hear it, so that they would know the God of all eternity, the one God of all eternity. It's his desire that for all eternity, all men be saved or atoned for. It says this in 1 Timothy. This is the will of Adonai. 1 Timothy 2:4. He desires all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, a human, Messiah Yeshua, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony of at the proper time. We're the one who needs to make the choice. He will not force his people to make that choice. He may force them to choose, but he doesn't force them into what choice to make. You heard, maybe some of you heard the saying, the Ruach is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon you. It's true. But when push comes to shove, he's a roaring lion as well. And when the end time comes, he will close the door. And those left out will not be in heaven. And the only way to get in is to accept him as Messiah. This is what Scripture says about those who make the choice. John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, but the world didn't know him. Speaking of Yeshua. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But whoever did receive him, those trusting in his name, to those he gave the right to become children of God. Notice it says that those who did not receive him, those who didn't make the right choice, the decision to give their life to him, they did not become the children of God. Who became the children of God? The one who made the choice to receive him. He didn't force, they made the choice. That's the choice every person on earth needs to make. That's the choice every person on earth needs to make before time runs out. Someday time will run out for everybody at the same time because Messiah Yeshua will come down and bang, that's it. But for most of us, I think, for most of us, each one of our times is different. It'll be the time that you draw your last breath. Then it becomes too late. We need to take very careful stock of the decisions that we're making today about our eternity. We need to know why we're making the decision, and we need to know what that decision is. We need to know that we make the decision because there truly is an eternity, and there's only two choices about eternity. In his presence where there's comfort and joy, or outside of his presence where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the fire always burns and the worm is always eating flesh. It's described as a horrible place for one reason, because it's horrible. Know today which God you will serve. Make the choice and then run that race to the end. That's the choice every person on earth needs to make. So, if you're watching today and you've not made the choice yet, I encourage you, read through Scripture and see what it says about the choice. Go read Isaiah 53. Read through Psalm 22 again. Read through a couple of the Gospels and see who Adonai Yeshua is. See the oneness of God. See the oneness of eternity. See the oneness of the way to joy and peace for eternity. That's what all Scripture is. It's not just what the new covenant is about. It's what the old covenant is about too. The old covenant is truly about eternity. Don't be fooled by the world. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word so that we won't be fooled by the world. We thank you that you've given us the word so Satan doesn't fool us by showing us things that look shiny and new and wonderful here, but for eternity it will not be. I ask for those who are hearing the message today, maybe it's their first time that they're hearing this, that you would touch their heart and you would help them to see the eternity that you have planned for them, not the eternity that the world has planned for them. Father, I thank you for your love of all people. Regardless of where they are currently, they can turn to you, change their eternity to one of being in your presence and having joy forevermore. Father, I ask that you would touch people's hearts today. And I ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen. So if this